Welcome to the Empower Your Team podcast series with your host, Chloe Caron, founder and president of O2 Coaching. In this podcast series, Chloe and her guests will take you on a journey, sharing their leadership stories, struggles, successes, and learnings. The conversations will highlight practical advice and insights for leaders.
Hello, I'm Chloe Caron. So excited to be here for season 2 of my podcast, Empower Your Team. Episode number 2, we're talking today with Annie Rouleau, a very courageous and perseverant businesswoman. And we talk about her vision, very clear and powerful vision. And I know that many of you, either on your teams or with your organizations, you do have a statement, a vision statement. But how many of you feel like that statement really drives the right behavior? And when I talk about the right behavior, the last part of my sentence is to drive empowerment in your organization. So where I want to focus my question today for you in the podcast is, how many of you have a statement that drives decision-making at the right level by the right persons in your organization? My assumption is that not that many of you, because when I ask the question, how many of the questions that come to you could be answered by the person that either is asking you the question or a teammate, but rather is escalated to you or to a higher level. And I, every single time, get this answer, at least 50%. So I know with that answer that organizations are not efficient, they're not agile, that too many questions and decisions are being made at the higher level when in fact they could be made by somebody on your team and they're not. What's the impact of that? Obviously, inefficiency, that's for sure. But think about that long term in terms of the engagement and the value that you're getting from people. It means that people are leaving on the table their full potential, their full creativity, their full innovation. And you don't want that, because people are your most valuable resources. So listen to the podcast, because you'll see that Annie Rouleau's vision is at the heart of her success and she's at the heart of her vision. Have a listen. I'm so excited to have Annie Rouleau, CEO and president of Unscented Company. Annie, welcome to this mic.
Oh, thank you for having me, Chloe.
This is such a fantastic time for you to be here, because in the middle of all this craziness that we've been experimenting in the past year, you've been solid in your convictions, very solid in your vision. And I'm curious to hear you on what brought you where you are after 10 years of owning Unscented Companies.
Well, you know what? 10 years goes by very fast. But when I started thinking about the business in 2011, the kids were 3 and 4 years old, and I decided to sit down and just write on a white sheet of paper what would be my next business. And yes, it was about having home body care products that would be natural, that would be biodegradable, that would be exclusively fragrance-free. But as a company who manufactures soap, we are part of an industry that creates probably one of the biggest environmental disasters, which is the single-use plastic packaging. And so therefore, as soon as I started putting this business together, I knew that I needed to be part of the solution and change the way we manufacture products in that industry to reduce our plastic footprint. Therefore, the business model was based on having a positive impact. I wanted that. I wanted it to be part of the DNA of the business. So after 10 years, once your mission is very, very clear on being part of the movement of reducing plastic footprint, collective plastic footprint, or reduce a single-use plastic packaging. And how are we going to do it? Well, with my vision of changing consumers' habit. And on what base? Well, having transparency, inclusivity, socially and environmentally responsible. So for 10 years, it's as clear as that. So it was easy for me to build a business with those type of convictions.
And it was easy, it seems, as I'm listening to you, it was easy for you to really to operate from your USC, your unique strategic contribution. So not only for your company and Scented Company, but also for you as a leader, and to operate from that space of really understanding the value you bring to your company.
Yes, because I wanted to build a business on my value chain. I wanted to not just have a business, I wanted to contribute. So for sure, it comes more from inside me of truly wanting a bigger project. I did not want to become the leader in the world of dish soap. That was not the purpose of my business. So by doing that, you kind of want to create a business with more meaning, with that can grow to change the standards in the industry. So that was the purpose of building that business.
And talking about building your business, some that may be listening might be saying, yeah, but how can you build a business by being sustainable? And so our theme today is resiliency for a sustainable economy. So how do you drive that growth and that those profits while being sustainable?
Like I say, you know what? If it's part of your DNA, you know you want to be a company that has a positive impact. And you know, with the 2020 pandemic, I realized that the choices I made really had a true meaning. Why? Because I do believe that a very strong, or the economy tomorrow will have to be strong, will have to be resilient, and will have to be sustainable. I think we've just proved to ourselves that we need to make choices that will make sure that, because we're not the first pandemic and it's not the last one. So to be able to go through that again, we must make choices. The choices I made was right at the beginning, I wanted to have local supply ship. So for me, that was just an objective. So locally, having all of my suppliers today, 90% of my suppliers are within 500 kilometers of my head office. During a pandemic, it makes entirely more sense to do that because you can really adapt quickly to any changes, any shortage. So you become more resilient and it's more sustainable long term because you're putting the money inside your own economy. So for me, you're much stronger, you're better economy, and you're stronger if you make those type of choices. So yes, we can be resilient, we can be sustainable and have great profitable companies.
What's been your hardest choice to make as the leader of the Scented Company? What's been the hardest choice for you?
Probably the hardest choice is that when you make those type of decision based on your convictions, you do accept to pay a little bit more. The cost is higher. So that's a choice you make at the beginning to kind of delay a little bit your profitability and not have it really short term, because you know down the road, if you continue with your mission, with your vision, and with your local supply chip, because I'm going to talk about that, I knew at the end of the day, it would be better. To make choices on your conviction, you do have to delay a bit, and that's a hard choice.
And would you say that's been your biggest? So I usually ask three questions, the same three questions to all the leaders. And one of them was the biggest difficulty you faced as a leader. Would you say those?
It does impact when you meet a banker and trying to get to finance your company. And right away, if I want to finance the company and you talk about having a company with a social impact, with environmental impact, and you want to create something different, a different type of businesses. Well, the bankers are not quite yet there. So by making those choices of paying a bit more at the beginning, it's kind of tough for the banker to really jump in and finance your business. So my hardest part of this journey has been financing a business under those considerations.
But today you don't have any difficulties, my understanding, to find
that. No, because I passed that. That's it. I passed that point. That tipping point finally happened, which I'm very happy. But in 2019, it was our first year that we were profitable. Mind you, that was before the pandemic. So I'm very happy. And then as soon as you become profitable, then the door opens up. And I've got great financial institution that will follow me now.
And growth is really in your radar because you've seen such a big growth in 2020, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 2020, I have to say, we're going through a pandemic, a sanitary crisis, and I'm selling cleaning products. So obviously, the product became not just a good to have, it became a priority within all companies and consumable all the consumers. So yes, we did see a big growth 2020, but mind you, I don't want to attribute it only to the pandemic. I think it was kind of the perfect storm. It was 8 years of putting work in it, being perseverant, being convinced that I was able to do it. Then the pandemic comes in and it just kind of all blend together, and I had the best year. 2020 and definitely had a very good year. Part of it is due to the pandemic, but the other is just, it was time. We had arrived to that point.
And so it seems to me that there's a really wonderful message here for people that are listening to us that perhaps are feeling somewhat tired, somewhat overwhelmed, somewhat discouraged at times. About what we're going through, how are we going to make it, what's the future holds for me and whatnot. What would you say to them to really stay focused?
That's it. You know what? I had to go through this year very low key because I was very aware of everyone around me that did not have great years, that are not having it's a troubled time for them. So for me, I kind of did not celebrate all the new milestone I had. But what I realize is that a company in my position right now was approached by different companies. And let's say I'll talk about just one who was Circa Distillery. So they manufacture gin on the island of Montreal. Paul Circa calls me up and he says, I have so much alcohol. I'm selling to restaurants and events and everything is shut down. To turn around and say, Paul, sell me your alcohol with a lot of profit. Keep your doors open, keep your lights on, keep your people, and we'll make a hand sanitizer. We'll co-brand it and we'll make sure that you stay open. Well, that's exactly what happened. In these time of difficulty, you have these people that do want to collaborate. We're there, we're open mind. How odd it is a gin company and a soap company doing a collaboration. Well, that proves that in these time, we can do things like that. We can think outside of the box and reach out to anyone that you think of. And you know what? We'll come up with solutions.
And your success, because you were successful in 2020 more than ever, your success allowed for that collaboration for others to be successful as well. So this is an invitation to celebrate everybody's successes and to kind of embrace that.
Yes, and I do believe the fact that I had for 10 years talked about local supply ship, well, that success also brought all of my local suppliers a time to continue working, keeping their people, because they all became essential. So I think the economy were all better for it.
So my second question, I think you've already answered it, which was, what are the resources or the tools that you use to overcome the biggest challenge, which was to get finance? And you talked about being perseverant and really anchor yourself in your convictions.
I think to be engaged, I think for me, that's a tool. I do love walking in my office every day. I have butterflies in my stomach every morning I wake up. Or do I go to bed sometimes a bit stressed out because I don't know what holds up the next day? But I wake up every morning having that feeling that I can contribute to bigger than my company. The engagement in my business, yes, but the engagement within the industry, trying to change the industry for better. And that really drives me. I think today it's fun to use our business. And we have a saying with the B Corp certification, it's use your business as a force for good. I literally use my business as a force for good. And for me, that's really driving my day-to-day business.
Oh, I love that. I so love that. And I'm so aligned with you there. Who would you say you've become on the journey of being that leader for 10 years? Who are you as a leader?
As a leader, who am I? I was fortunate to grow up in a family with two entrepreneurs. My mom and dad were both entrepreneurs. They both had their own business. So I really saw two different leadership, two different successful leadership, because both of them had their businesses, were successful in both their businesses. And I think today I'm a bit of a blend of both, but I'm definitely a leader that, you know, maybe they would call me soft sometime, because I want to lead with my heart. I want to lead by being more human. I want to lead. I do believe that the team is a force. So I'd never focus on what's annoying to each and every one of us. I really focus on what they contribute as a team. So that makes me a leader. I don't know. I don't know how you would say it. You say I started reading your book, actually, and sometimes you kind of wonder where you would stand exactly, but definitely human leadership, humanly. I don't know how to say it, but in English, but that's definitely the type of leadership, the leaders I've become over the years.
And this is why I wanted to have you on this show, because this is what our movement is all about with the Empower Your Team movement, is to have leaders that will, with their heart, empower their team to achieve the best thing that they can achieve, to really spread their wings and to express their full potential. And that is my own bigger than myself thing that you were talking about. And so that's why we wanted to have you here. A magnificent illustration of that. Thank you so much, Annie. Thank you for this time.
Oh, thank you, Chloe.
I hope you've been as inspired as me with listening to Annie Rouleau in terms of creating clarity of vision. And I want to provide you with my tool, the tool that I work with every single team, every single leader, and every single time it creates an acceleration of transformation, or just elevating the helicopter and the level to which they play. And I'm talking about my USC team, unique strategic contribution. And as I said, every single word is really important because it's unique to you in your role, either individually or as a team. It's strategic, meaning it's at the highest level possible. And it's the contribution you're making, i.e. the impact you're having in your organization. And if you, with your team, can create and have that conversation around your team USC, you will see, you will be able to observe how different people behave, because they now have a framework to ask themselves, am I operating at the right level? Should I be making that decision? Should I attend this meeting? How can I develop my team, my people, so that they can elevate their own helicopter, their own perspective, and their own contribution? So go on our website and take a look, because we've got many blogs on the Team USC, or you'll find it also in the book, Empower Your Team. In the meantime, be inspired and inspire.
Thanks for listening to the Empower Your Team podcast. Now it's time to take action. Join the leaders who are already part of the Empower Your Team movement and visit our website at empoweryourteam.com to know more on how to participate.